Should be live soon. I'm actually going to start by making the official announcement regarding this podcast.
I don't know if you can say that on TV, but...
Got him.
Crazy.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a long night with these fellas.
We are live. Thank you, Mark Duarte. Hello, everyone. It's Dylan from Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything, and welcome back to another episode of the Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Show, The Chronicles, episode 6, insert name here. This is the podcast we do, well, it used to be every Wednesday night. Now it's just once a month on Wednesday nights, where we break down the most recent episode of, in this case, The Chronicles. And before we get to it, before we introduce everyone, I do have a big official announcement to make in regards to this particular product, to this podcast, which is, of course, the Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Show regarding the Chronicles. And the big announcement, and if you've been in some of my other streams, you've probably heard this announcement. We have made the decision as a team, as a channel here on Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything, that once the branded series ends, which is going to be in November, we are going to revert to doing these podcasts at the end of the anthology rather than once a month. Meaning, Charmers is going to be December to March. It's going to end in March. We will only be doing one episode of the Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Show for the Charmers, and that is, of course, going to be at the end of March when all of the episodes have come to an end. We are no longer going to be doing this podcast on a monthly basis, and a couple of reasons for that. The biggest reason is that we just have decided there's, like, not a lot of content to dive into on a monthly basis. You know, that is one thing. I mean, sure, the episodes are getting longer, but until it gets to a point where these episodes are going to be, you know, 10, 12, 15 minutes long, it's just, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And then the other thing we thought, and we, by the way, we knew that going in, that was no secret. We knew this was a short series. That was no secret. But the other big thing that I always like to gauge is how interested are people in not only watching the Chronicles, but then coming to this show to watching 4, 5, 6 guys break it down and talk about it. And the answer is not very interested, and that is totally okay. The fan feedback is what has, I think, allowed this channel to flourish over 10 years. We want to bring you guys products and streams that you guys actually care about and that a large majority of you guys care about. And the last 2 episodes of The Chronicles that we've done, episode 2 and episode 3 for Branded, have been the lowest average viewed Wednesday night stream since we moved to Wednesday nights. From Vrains to Seven. So in the last 5+ years, it's been the lowest average viewed streams. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you 2 things. 1, people aren't just interested in the Chronicles that at least are subscribed to this channel. Or 2, people don't care for major breakdowns and major analyses of episodes that are 5 to 6 minutes long. And that makes total sense to me. I don't take it personally. I think it makes complete sense. So that is the reason and the rationale for the decisions being made. We will finish not only with this episode, but for the one in October and for the one in November. But at that point, moving forward, we will just be doing 1 episode when the entire anthology of whatever archetype they are doing comes to an end. I will let you guys know when the time is appropriate down the road what will be filling that spot to run alongside the Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Show and the After Darks, which are every other week, and the After Dark is, of course, once a month. But wanted to start with that announcement. Listen, we appreciate you guys being here. We've got a great, great group of people. Dredger, unfortunately, not able to make it tonight, but we got Nick T. Nick T, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing excellent, brother.
Good, man. And I mean, everything regarding that decision, I think that's probably smart. And I think, honestly, when we do the podcast at the end of the anthology, it's going to be cool because we have a lot more content to cover, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Calibro, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, man. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Pete, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Glad to be here.
Good. Dak, how you doing?
Just wonderful.
Okay. Great.
I want to I want to apologize. I feel like when you asked me how I was doing and I said I'm doing great and you paused for probably about like 10 seconds and I feel like you wanted me to ask you how you were doing and I
you know what it was, Nick T. I had said I wanted to actually get your opinion on, of course, the decision of us, you know, moving this to a once in end of anthology thing. It's not even a once in every 3 or 4 months thing because Sky Striker was 2 month, Branded was 6, Charmers is going to be 4. You know, it varies, but feel like that's the right decision for this product.
I totally agree. I think it's a good move. You know, I'd much rather be doing a podcast on 30 or so minutes of content as opposed to several about, you know, 7 minutes of content each.
Yep.
So I think it's just a better move. But there is one option that you weren't including, like a number 3, where when you said, people, you know, people for whatever reason aren't watching and it's not personal. The third option is that it is personal and they're tired of watching you.
It's true.
That is true.
I don't think it's likely, but I don't think that's likely.
Well, you know what? I'm happy you brought that to the table, man. Thank you so much. Yeah. That will definitely help me sleep a little better at night when I think about the longevity of the channel. So thank you. No, listen, I think it's, I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, this channel, it's amazing. We have a lot of subscribers, right. But there's a lot of people that are sub to this channel that want the card game anime, and this is a lore anime. It's just a totally different product. But yeah, I'm excited to break down this episode regardless. Episode 4, we've got 2 left. The longest episode so far, so definitely good that it's trending in a proper direction. And definitely when it comes to action, this was the least action we've ever had in an episode of The Chronicles. This was really the first time now in 6 total episodes, including the 2 Sky Striker ones, where we got to see this studio work on an episode that did not have high-flying action, that did not have these epic battle and fight scenes, but rather had character development, had storytelling, slowed down the pace. And all in all, I thought it was a good episode. I thought it was enjoyable for what it was. I love that they kind of ended with, you know, Ecclesia giving Albaz his name. It's always cool to see, like, your 2 main characters kind of the relationship build and the trust and the communication build up between them. And the Tri Brigade, of course, send them on their way to the Spriggans, which is another archetype. And it just kind of shows you how massive the Branded lore is, and there's elements of the Branded lore. I mean, there's so many archetypes that we're probably not even going to get to in the next 2 episodes, but this was the first time where we got to see if this studio, if this writing team could write an episode that had no hype moments, that had no aura farming, and they did. And I think it was well. I think it looked good. And all in all, you know, besides the same grievances, it just being so quick, it feels like it's over before it started, and you have to wait 30 days for the next one. It's been 30 days since the last one, so that sort of emotional attachment is hard, at least for me, versus a show that I can watch on a week basis. But besides the same crap that I've been saying, I thought it was a good episode. I really did. Dak, what did you think, man?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree. It was a good episode overall. Nice to have that change of pace. Definitely nice to see them still able to work it with character interaction, because that is a vital piece, especially if they're going to be trying to move into a more studio kind of a format moving forward.
Of course.
So, you know, regardless if it's Yu-Gi-Oh or not, you need to be able to write characters and have them interact properly. So it's nice to see that they can do that. It does give me a little more hope for Konami Animation in the future and some of their projects. But, you know, even just being able to breathe, you know, from the action, kind of get an idea, start to kind of develop those characters, develop the lore, you know, a little bit more behind them, and kind of set up, you know, those next episodes, I think are just a big nice change of pace at its core. You know, it made it much more enjoyable to watch. And if they do splice it all together, like we were kind of talking about a little bit before the show, if that's kind of a plan that they have down the line, that would be that kind of perfect, you know, transition between action to, you know, set piece to, you know, move into that next kind of a, I guess, ramp up for the finale probably.
Yeah, no, very well said. And you know, I always love peeking in the comments of the video, and a lot of people in the comments seemed pretty pleased and seemed annoyed that, like, this isn't being made into a full series. So, I mean, a lot of the comments did lean more positive, which is definitely definitely good. Pete, what did you think here of episode 4 of Branded?
I thought it was a solid episode. It was nice to kind of have a little bit of a change of pace and kind of, I know there wasn't like a ton of dialogue, but still to get to know the characters, to kind of feel like where their mental states are at after such a climactic kind of battle or confrontation that they had. All I could think about when I watched this is I'm like, and I saw it in the comments as well, because I do the same thing. I always look at the comments after the video. Of like, there is so much here, and everyone has been telling us that about the Albaz lore and all that stuff, but like, you can feel it when you're watching it. You're like, the pacing of the episode, you're like, oh, man, you know they just skipped through some things there that they really could have developed because they don't have the time to do, because they have these, whatever, six episodes. And that part, I think, is I kind of get a little sad. It's like a little bit of a bummer where I'm like, man, even if we don't have like the weekly Yu-Gi-Oh! Card game anime that we're used to, this could be so good, man. If they had the ability, and I understand the studio probably doesn't, but like if they had the ability to make like even once a month a 23-minute episode, once a month.
That seems like, reasonable, dude. I mean, I'm sorry, but like that seems reasonable to me.
That, man. And so that's all I could think about. I liked it. It was good. I liked it. You know, it's a full circle moment of like he gets his name from her and stuff like that. And that's how the episode ends, which is, you know, very cliche, but that's fine. But it bums me out more that I feel like there is an audience here for this. They are doing a great job with, I think, how they're slow rolling some of the story, but then they're speeding it up in some parts. And it's like, if they allowed that to breathe a little bit more because they had more time, I really think we can get something fantastic.
Well, you know, and this is to your point, and you're not even somebody who really knows a lot about like the Yu-Gi-Oh! Archetypal lore, but like to your point, you're saying I'm watching this and I can feel that there's something here.
I'm into it.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I mean, this lore story is one of the more, I would say, fleshed out and more popular and beloved lore stories in all of Yu-Gi-Oh! And I don't know if, you know, Chad and the people watching would agree with that, but I 100% feel like when people talk about lore they wanted to see get in anime series, Branded, Albaz, that stuff was always very high up on the wish list. It was very high up on people's wish lists. And we finally got it, and it sucks that it is what it is. Right. It sucks that it can't be this fully fleshed out series. To your point, you know, another thing I like to look at are the comments, besides the comments, is the viewership. Episode one of Branded, 720,000 views. It's very good. Episode two, 481,000 views. It's a pretty significant drop off. And by the way, that's been up for 2 months. So that's not going to like get, that's not going to reach episode one. Episode three, 303,000 views. And episode four, which has been out for 2 weeks, 287,000 views. So from episode one, that has 720, we have been cut in more than half. And I feel like that is not a very good sign, but I think it speaks to the overall feelings of how the community feels about this particular project. Whereas if it was, the episodes were longer, if it was more consistent in terms of maybe every 2 weeks or whatever, I feel like we would not see that stark of a viewership drop off within the same story here. I mean, that to me is pretty significant. 720 to 300. I mean, that's more than 50%. Obviously your first couple of episodes are always going to get more, but like there really shouldn't be a significant drop off like that to where two episodes later, you can double what that episode got in terms of viewership and still not be where the first episode was in terms of views. It shows that there's a lot of people that have, I think, dropped this series. And that was always going to be the cool thing about the Chronicles. We could see how they were performing just based on the viewership data, which is something that we never really got with like the TV anime, Arc 5, Rain 7, you know, you had Nico, but that site for many reasons is a complete joke. Yeah, it really is. So, you know, that's another data element that we can look at that doesn't, I think, speak too positively. Calibro, your thoughts here on episode four.
So I liked the episode. I mean, again, I don't want to repeat what you guys have said in terms of like, I wish it was longer, like, but it really, like, I watched episodes three and four together because I wasn't around for when the third one got released. And I was like, I might as well wait, watch the two the same day and, you know, keep everything fresh. And I felt like I was actually watching a, a real episode of a show, because as basically that middle part for me was a commercial break, right? The one video ended, I clicked on the next one, and then it started right up. And I was like, this actually feels like I'm watching a show. So it's not the quality, really, that's the issue in terms of, like, telling the story, and in this one in particular with not much action. Like, you know, getting a little bit of background, having those character-to-character interactions, showing the different personalities, as opposed to, you know, something here, something there, a lot of action, you know, quick lines, whatever. But when you put it together in, like, two episodes becoming one for me there, like, it really, like, it wasn't bad. It's really not bad.
Yeah.
It's just, if you're watching a six-minute episode of a show, what are you getting from it?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, because in my eyes, if all four of these episodes were put together, it's about the size of, like, a normal episode of a show.
Yeah.
You'd probably watch that and be like, oh, okay, hell yeah. Like, it's continuous. The story flows all the way through. There's different types of character interactions, a lot of introductions, intrigue on different groups and everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, they're really building it up well. It just all falls back on that. It's hard to get people engaged in something that's going to be 6 minutes long when you're looking and used to a 20-minute episode of it every single week, and you're getting a sprinkle every month. It's the timing for me is, like, the only downfall at this point.
Yeah.
I and by the way, I mean, these are things that we've all been saying, and that I think, you know, I know there's probably people watching it like, oh, this again, but, like, it's at its core, like, that is a huge talking point.
Yeah.
I mean, especially that it has been, it was one of those things where it was like, well, listen, will this feeling fade away if the episodes get a little bit longer, right? The episodes were like 4 or 5 minutes when it was first starting. If those episodes double in length, but it stays 30 days, will this feeling of, man, I just wish that there could be, like, a little bit more, will those feelings go away? For, I think, me, and I think for a lot of you guys, they haven't. And, you know, it just is what it is. Speaking of which, Nick T, I mean, your thoughts on this episode.
Okay, I mean, other than the obvious, right? I'll start with that. Like, yeah, even 7.5 minutes of content is not enough.
It's not enough.
Especially at the frequency that we're getting. But yeah, that aside, like, that's really the only negative I have about this episode. And I've been pretty critical of it. But this, I mean, as a whole, this segment has been very cool. I've really liked the story they've been telling. But this episode in particular, I think, was good. Excellent. I didn't really need any, like, hype moments or action. Like, I actually want, like, that's the thing about these, like, the downfall of a lot of these Chronicles episodes. I've wanted to learn more. And there has not been an outlet for that yet. Until now, where, or maybe a little bit last episode, but this one way more so. I've been really enjoying, like, almost like an implied history where, like, they give you a glimpse of something and you're like, oh, like, what's that about? Like, I'm really curious about that when Albaz, well, the character then later named Albaz asks her, like, to the Ecclesia to name him, like, that flash of the flower in hand, and you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's these little things that are like an implied history between some character, something that's happened to one of those characters. And I think that, like, is really like a hook. Like, it makes me want to watch more and learn more. Not that we'll necessarily get it, but I think it's good storytelling. I mean, of course, aside from, like, I think Pete, like, with the naming moment, like, yeah, there was a little bit of cringe there. It's like, oh, they said the thing, right? Like, oh, what's my name? And, like, they said it. Cool.
Say my name.
But it was good. As a whole, I really liked it. You get, like, all these different faction dynamics, and just the characters really have, like, a little room to breathe, which is nice. I will disagree that I think, you know, there was still some aura farming, because every time that leader of the tribe brigade is on screen, that guy's aura farming.
100%. Well, that guy's jacked. That's, like, the dredger of the group. That guy is just jacked.
Yeah, like, even his dialogue, like, when Albaz isn't replying to him, he's like, whatever, like, you're not going to be here long. And he's just, like, buffed up, like, yeah, like, that guy's overfarming for sure.
Yeah, that guy is the IGL, as Dredger would often say, of Tribe Brigade, right?
What is that?
In-game leader.
Jesus Christ. I regret asking.
When are you going to sneak in the Italian brain rot to this podcast?
Well, Nick T loves Italian brain rot. That's his culture. Yeah, that's his culture.
Isn't it like cappuccino ballerina or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, yeah.
Tongue soda.
Yeah, Gallagher knows it. And again, the episode being 6-7 minutes was definitely better. Pete, were you going to say something?
I hate you so much. I'm not letting that one slide. Yeah,
I got that through so many times a couple of Wednesdays ago to the point where Caliber cursed me out and Nick T had no idea why, dude. And Nick T was so concerned. He was like, "Why did you just freak out at that sentence?"
Yeah, I was like, why did you yell at him?
I fully agreed with Caliber when that was going.
It was like the sixth time you threw out a 6-7, and I was like, okay.
No, but like, listen.
This time I didn't.
It was a good episode, and you know, it's just tough because like you think about in a standard anime episode that's 19 minutes, usually you get 5 to 6 minutes of world building or whatever, and then you get, especially in a Yu-Gi-Oh episode, and then you get the duel for 13 minutes or so, and like, this episode length, because it is what it is basically equivalent to the non-dual part of like a standard Yu-Gi-Oh episode. And I think that's like the tough part. Even when you dedicate an episode to all the world building and the character building, like it's still such a time limit. And I don't know if you guys feel this way, but like when I'm starting these episodes, after like a couple of minutes, in my mind, I'm like, okay, I know it's going to end. I know we're near the end. And when I'm watching standard episode of an anime or a movie or whatever, I'm never thinking that it's going to be the end, unless it's the recent Batman movie. And I think, all right, that was a good movie. And then the third act starts and the city gets fired.
It was a great movie, but I agree with Dylan. We talked about it when it first came out. It feels like that movie has three endings.
Really. Dude,
it does. It's a three act. Star Wars. It's a three act.
I mean, but the first two acts are like 2.5 hours.
It feels like in the third act, there's three different endings.
Mm-hmm. Come on. It felt all like the movie was over and then the dam bursts and you're like, what the hell?
Yep. Exactly.
He's right.
I like the movie.
Spoiler.
Okay, no, I don't care about that. Okay, let's tell him what happens.
I have not
seen it. I'm not going to get into this, but I see your point. It's a little long in the end. It's a little long.
The length of that movie is the only reason I haven't seen it yet, because I need to find like 4 hours to sit down and watch it.
Well, that's ridiculous.
It's like
watch it in pieces, dude.
No, I don't like to do that because then I forget.
Just one act at a time,
dude. Yeah.
Well, I've been watching Shameless on TikTok.
Nice.
Do one act at a time. It's basically like you get to see a trilogy.
No. if you have the attention span of a 7-year-old, maybe. A trilogy. What are you watching? You're watching 45-minute movies?
Well, this guy's watching. What are you watching? You're watching. What are you watching?
Shameless.
Shake Off.
The Great British Bake Off.
I didn't know what he was watching.
The Great British Shake Off is what you just said.
Yep, he did.
Jesus. But I mean that. But again, that is the. I think at its core, probably the biggest problem with the Chronicles, it's just like it's gonna end as soon as it starts. Ultimately, it was a good episode.
It's the quality and the storytelling is good. It's just you have this big cake and you get one lick at the icing. You don't even get to eat the cake.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a good analogy actually.
That's right? A great analogy. Nick Tate.
You don't get the whole piece.
What?
Who are you picking between, and I'm sure the world wants to know, Tri Brigade Ferret or Ecclesia?
Yeah, that was coming.
Tri Brigade Ferret.
How old are these characters?
I'm pretty sure they're old.
Ecclesia is definitely young. No, Ecclesia is definitely young. Tri Brigade Ferret, on the other hand, that's a woman.
the sniper rifle one.
Is it the pink hair?
It helps.
Okay.
It helps.
That's fair.
It fits her personality.
I would pick the same. Yeah. I would pick the same. I'd pick the same.
Yeah, well, don't pick the 15-year-old though.
Yeah, I would prefer not to pick the 15.
Well, okay. Okay.
How old these characters are.
I don't know how old either of the characters are. I thought they were both older, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you should have some trepidation with some of your comments.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I haven't said anything. Let me. There might not. Do we even? I don't know if we even have this.
Yes.
He's trying to pivot so hard.
Trevor Gade Ferran is a fictional character. She does not have a real world age.
What did the AI overview give you that answer?
Yes.
I had something that loaded up the AI overview did that I thought was pretty great, actually.
Well, what was it?
I'm nervous.
Well, I looked up Konami Animation. You know, their next project is to pull up any new info on that Suikoden anime that they're doing.
That's
their next big thing that they're hinting at multiple seasons and stuff for. But when you go down in the second section, it says other Konami Animation projects, Yu-Gi-Oh! Content. Konami Animation is also working on multiple Yu-Gi-Oh! Related projects, potentially including shorter lore-focused videos for TCG and OCG archetypes, and one-shot duels featuring legacy characters, according to a YouTube video. So I clicked the video, and it happened to look back to somebody here. Yeah.
That's amazing, dude. Called
Yu-Gi-Oh! Go Rush Ending Soon. What's next for Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime?
That is insane.
You know what that is? If anybody needed to make an anti-AI PSA, that is how you make an anti-AI PSA. This is Google's AI using my speculative video as a source confirmation for what Konami Animation is working on. AI is flawed. Do not trust it. That is crazy. That's the takeaway.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, that's the takeaway. And that's a great find, Dak. That is absolutely ridiculous, but that is hilarious at the same time. And I knew as soon as you said it, by the way, as soon as you said that Konami is working on one-shot duels between legacy characters, mm-hmm. I knew instantly that...
Yeah.
It was my video that they were sourcing. That is so freaking funny. And if you ever needed to know, wow, should I trust Google's AI? Should I trust what ChatGPT is telling me? No, you should not. They're using videos like mine to give you legitimate answers. That's scary, okay?
You don't want to be using your videos.
Exactly.
Nodding.
Exactly. It's like the AI is asking me, you know, who fought in the, you know, I don't know, some war. I couldn't think of one.
There's so many.
What was there was one that was like 7 days, right?
Oh, the 7 day war.
Was that really the name of it?
I don't know. I mean, there's probably several that were like a week long, but
I can't tell if Pete's frozen or deeply disturbed. Oh, I guess he was the latter.
He's deeply disturbed.
I think he's crying.
Yeah, but yes, it was a conflict at the least.
Yeah, I will. Without getting into the AI debate, I will say it is absolutely ruining people's ability to do research because I could Google something and be like, "That's right."
Yeah,
it could be wrong.
Click. Yeah,
the AI is taking the source from a Reddit forum.
Yeah, exactly.
It does that all the time.
Yeah,
they contradict so many times,
dude.
Think about it, college. How many people now write essays via ChatGPT? They don't probably even all of them. Do it.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's programs now for professors to then check for AI programs for submitted work.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Well, what's extra scary is like, have you tried in like since the introduction of whatever Google Gemini, try to Google if something like X thing is safe to like consume or something? And then it'll be like, yes, blah, blah, blah is safe to consume. And then you click in and it makes the greater paragraph and you're like, not recommended to eat. And I was like, whoa, what are you talking about?
No, you can consume it. You just can't eat it.
Yeah. It's like, I need to click this article to actually see what the actual context, because something's not right here.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're getting the source from Reddit user Scratchy Nut 75.
I've seen that guy.
Yeah, of course. That's why you got to be real careful about using AI, because they're sourcing from these ridiculous people across the internet, like me. And you got to be careful.
Like you.
You got to be careful.
Is that your Reddit user?
I do not have a Reddit. I've actually never had a Reddit.
Really?
Yeah.
That's for the best.
Yeah.
I feel like that's... I feel like a that... Reddit guy.
No, I've never had a Reddit. I've never had a Reddit. I've never had a Tumblr. Those are probably the two biggest I've never had.
Also and those fair. Are two pretty different things.
Never had a Pinterest. I definitely different, but in terms of like social media,
popular,
I would say Nick T. Because I would consider, maybe not Pinterest, but I would consider Tumblr and Reddit social media.
Reddit, Reddit's a forum and Tumblr is essentially a blog, but both are technically forms of social media, but not in like the most modern.
Sure, niche social media.
Nick, you have to remember Dylan Venmo. Thinks that Venmo is social media and it's not the same thing. I'm not saying he's wrong, but like it's similar to like Tumblr almost, where you're just kind of throwing stuff out there on your board.
Like for years, I said Dylan is insane with that take, and then as it went on, I was like, you know what, he's kind of right.
Yeah. No, thank you, and that's okay.
That element.
We all got.
Yeah, you'll
there.
See like a payment between people. You know, you're like, what's up with that? That's interesting.
Yeah, payment between people you know, and like the caption is like the eggplant emoji. It's like, what's going on there? You know, and like I don't need to know all of this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
I don't need to know what Calibre does.
Nick T, I have a good Tumblr story for you. I never had one, and then you know I was texting this girl in like high school, and she was like, "Oh my god, you don't have one?" I was like, "Well, you know, you should help me make one," you know. And then that was how I got her to come over and hang out.
Genius. Is someone we know?
Yeah. I'm not going to say any names on.
Can you explain in detail what happened at the hangout?
Yeah, like.
Well, Cal, I want to clear the air too. This was like in the
next
past,
question. Right? Next you're question.
You're not texting a high schooler now, right?
Oh my god! I said when I was in high school, brother.
I'm just making sure.
Now we got a gotcha guy in here. He's trying to turn people bad.
Crazy.
It is crazy.
Just crazy. Yeah, Nick.
Just on this tangent, though. Speaking, I actually. not the teenager thing.
I know through
Tumblr, went on several dates like with people that I was not talking to outside of there.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I remember. I remember one of them.
Yeah,
Nick T about the street.
Kylie's one of them.
Lived right beyond the Sears.
That was the exact person I thought.
Yeah, literally reached out to me and like told me I was cute and asked if I wanted to get coffee, and I was like, yeah.
Well,
like,
I remember. Crazy. Well, I remember that, Nick T. You probably remember this because there was one time in high school where her older sister and we were working on a science project together, and I went over her house. So that's how I knew they lived beyond the Sears. I went over her house to work on the project, and then you came out of the bedroom with no clothes on.
No.
And I was like, dude, what are you doing here?
I had no interaction with this person until we were. I was in college, for the record. So,
maybe it was a college project.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, when you were at
Brookdale. Oh my goodness. She could have went to Brookdale.
Yeah, sure, but no.
or maybe I seen her around campus when I was there.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have seen me come out of her room. It also didn't get that far, but we're not going there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were going into detail about that. Okay, I got you. No. My apologies.
Someone's got to stop this guy.
No, I was just filling in the blanks. No, Chad, I was just filling in the blanks. I apologize to you, Chad. I was just trying to
fill in the blanks with a story that isn't true.
That's what he was doing.
Well, Nick T, sometimes, like, you know, a story has a few blanks because you don't remember. So Dylan No, but I'm saying people might think that there's, you know, holes in his story. So Dylan, what he does is he goes into his Mad Libs, and he just starts putting words into the sentences, and he just throws those into and makes stories out of it.
Dylan's brain is a Mad Libs for sure.
Yes, 100%.
Thank you, guys. yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Anyway, tying this all back to the Chronicles, I think.
Yeah. Somehow it came back full circle.
I think it was.
I'm just so excited to see your tie-in.
Well, I just think it was a beautiful dynamic. You have kind of Ecclesia get talked to by Ferret, And then you have, of course, the big guy. I don't remember his name. I'm just going to call him the big guy.
Yeah, I can't remember his name for the life of me.
Yeah, the big guy on Tri Brigade.
Yeah, big guy.
But not the biggest guy, because there are two guys bigger
than him. Not
the
biggest guy. The biggest human guy.
The wolf dude or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shirag, right. Shirag, I think is his name. And that guy, by the way, just, you know, again, you could look at his biceps, got lost in him for days. And he's talking to Albaz, and I thought it was great. Them being sent on their way. They get that little bird. I don't remember if that's Nerval. I think that is. But they get that little bird. And, yeah, the bird is going to take them to Spriggans. And they didn't really say much about Spriggans, right? They just said that the Spriggans have helped us out before. So I think that's really all
they said.
They
also said that they're treasure hunters.
Treasure hunters, yeah. So, yeah, I think it'll be cool to see
them. What I really liked is that, like, the way the show sets up, you think you're going to follow the Tri Brigade the whole time, and they really pivot in a cool way where it's like you meet up with Eclesia and Albaz, and then now that's who you're following too with the Spriggans, and like it's clear that these are obviously the main characters now, the ones you follow. But I was under the impression we were going to follow them with Tri Brigade, but that's not the case, and I think that's kind of a cool like left turn.
Yeah, no, I think that is a really, really good point. Like, obviously, Eclesia and Albaz were going to be at the core of this story. But if you had to pick any, like, main group that was going to be following them, it was you figured it was going to be Tri Brigade. So it's cool that, like, Tri Brigade was there for almost, like, the first act or the first two-thirds act. And now they're moving on and passing on the buck to Spriggans, who you have to imagine we will see in the fifth episode. But yeah, I mean, even as someone who's not very familiar with the Brandon lore, and Dak, you can speak to this as well, being around the card game, there is so much that you can encapsulate and that is tied in to all of these characters. There's no possible way, even if these next two episodes were like 15 minutes each, which they won't be, by the way, we'll be lucky if we get 15 minutes in total, by the way, in these next two episodes, there's no way they can encapsulate everything here, right?
No, definitely not. There's still so much left. I mean, even just Bestials comes to mind. Like, how are they going to work a lot of those in? And you've got, you know, Sword Soul and all that, you know, still kind of around as well. How are they going to squeeze all that?
Many cool freaking archetypes. Man, it really, to speak to Pete's opening point, it really sucks that they are not, like, giving us, hey, we're going to give you six episodes, but they're each going to be 20 minutes. Like, it sucks that they are not doing that, because there is so much in this story. And I know that we might get a part two, but, like, you know, I don't know, dude. It would have just been cool to see this more fleshed out.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Maybe they're just giving us the sprinkle now and they'll give you something bigger later on.
Maybe. I mean, unless something totally changes in their plotting or
strategy. I'm just
trying
to be optimistic.
No. And you could be right. I mean, there's people. In fact, we did buy, sell, or hold on the Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! Show, last week. And one of the buy, sell, or hold options was by 2026, each Chronicles episode will be 12 minutes. And there were a couple of people in chat. I went back and looked. That believed that, hey, we're gonna reach 12 minutes, and maybe by the end of 26, we're gonna reach 20 minutes. We're gonna be at a full episode length. Now, I think that's very optimistic, but you've seen crazier things here, and we just have to hope that, you know, I would trade the Chronicles in a heartbeat, obviously, for another card game anime. There's no reason why both can't run simultaneously, but. Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. A lot of people believe that when the Charmers ends in March, when April comes around, the Chronicles will do Branded Part 2, which is, like, cool, but I don't know. If they have more plans to do more, like, Branded and, like, more story lore here, I'd rather them just do it in one straight shot. I don't know what the benefit is by, like, pausing it for 4 months and then going back to it. I don't know what the strategy there would be. I would think, let's just rock and roll with this and keep it going straight through for a year, even just to encapsulate everything.
I can give you the one positive.
Sure.
The quality and length could be better at a later time.
Yeah, that's a fair.
That's
take.
It. That's yeah. that's all. That's all I have, because in terms of marketing and keeping people interested, if you know this is what they're interested in, you would want to keep pushing that out. You wouldn't It doesn't make sense to be like, okay, no, we're going over to this next, and then that. But next October, be on the lookout, might be part two. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It's got to be like they're kind of laying out the track, and then the resources would be improved, or like there would be more resources in terms of staff, funding, whatever, to make a better product happen. Sure. Mm-hmm. But.
And can I be, I'm going to be optimistic, delusional here. But like they could do something even with like this has kind of brought us, you know, definitely not a full in detailed view of the branded lore, but you know a storyline and a piece of it. If they wanted to just make a movie that continued off of what they put in here, if that was an option, like one long 2-hour thing, maybe that it could even take them 3 years to make it. Right, it doesn't matter. Movie, you understand it's going to take a while. Like. Maybe down the line, you know, they have more money, better quality, a little bit longer.
I'd watch the hell out of that.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's good enough that, like, I'd watch it. You just got to give us the length.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what direction the series goes in and what they do. You know, I'm not even fully convinced that, like, this is going to continue for that long, but... You know, we'll see. We'll see what comes after Charmers. I mean, we know we're gonna have Charmers until March, and then we'll. And it's funny. Ooh. And by the way,
convenient month to end.
Well, you know what? That's what I was gonna say. I believe it's.
Don't get excited.
No, I'm not getting excited. The term I was going to use was purposeful trolling. They had Brandon go all the way through November, and it gave people this idea. Oh well, you know what happens in December. Jump Festa. That's when they're going to announce something. And then they announce the Charmers to end in March, which April is always when the new season starts and when almost every Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime has started. Not everyone. GX was October, I think. But besides GX and Vrains, I guess, because it was delayed, April is always that starting month. So, like, man, it's probably just a coincidence, but it almost feels like they are purposely trolling in that regard. To instill some hope, whether we should have hope or not.
Maybe it's not trolling, dude. Maybe they're laying out the ladder.
That's what they want. That's what they want. That's the take they want. That's exactly what they want. They're listening to you say that, and they are licking their lips. Yep. They're happy that you said that.
The eyeball money signs are popping out.
Exactly.
They got me right where they want me.
Oh, we got them hooked. Can't wait to shatter them in 79 days. And who's counting?
And then they shatter me, and you know I got to go back to Japan and have some tough conversations.
Well, you did meet, and I didn't want to reveal this, but you did meet with some important people in Japan.
Well, I met with our friend of the show.
Well, I know you met with Yoshida, but I know you met with some other people that you said you can't name.
Yeah, no, I can't. I can't disclose that information.
Okay. It's exciting.
I was trying to think of someone like really horrible, but I couldn't think of anybody.
Well, thank you for. First of all, no, I'm not going to thank you because if you did think of someone horrible, you would have said it. So I'm not. I'm not even going to thank you. Just for
you're welcome.
Okay, you guys want to read some donations?
Yeah, let's do it.
We appreciate all of you guys being here. Thank you so much. I'll start with the link. Dark Emperor J, thank you for the $2 donation. Random question. Out of these three establishments, which one would you open? Cafe, restaurant, or bar? And what kind of food/drinks would you serve there? I would open up a cafe because I like the morning vibe. I like the thought of, you know, being able to maybe close by like 2-ish. So you have your evenings. I think morning food is more fun than any type of food that you can possibly make. Love breakfast food. And I think with coffee as well, if you can make some good coffee, the margins on coffee is ridiculous. So I think if you get everything else right, the coffee will just print money for you. And I'll go cafe. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you can play that Club Penguin music. Da-dun, 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 da-dun.
That's an insane ball.
Well, who's going to come after me? Who owns Club Penguin anymore? I don't think anyone owns them.
It's done. It's
They're done.
There's like private servers now. That's it.
Yeah. And by the way, if Disney owns the properties, they can come. Disney doesn't scare me. Yeah, Cal.
I was going to piggyback off you because a cafe was what popped to my mind first as well.
Okay.
little bit different theme song. I'd probably go with the Maple Story classic.
Oh.
But I still think that overall, the vibe of a cafe with coffee and, like, you know, maybe you could have bagels and a little, like, kind of bakery section, and, you know, you could be open. You don't have, and for you, first of all, if you say the morning is a wild thing for me because you like to sleep. But, you know, coffee, you set up, maybe have a little library section, books, people can sit down, have a little read, and you just vibe out. Some John Mayer playing maybe in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Some Your John Mayer.
Is a wonderland.
I'm walking right out of your cafe.
Your body is a wonderland.
Well, and then you could have like a cardboard cutout of like Sabrina Carpenter for Weir, and he can like go in and take pictures.
Well, we'd have to have the me espresso. So
oh,
I could do that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. That's definitely what you meant. Yeah.
Well, I'll never forget the backstory with that is Raising Cane's. Livy Dunn was running a promotion, me, Dredger, and Weir walked into the Raising Cane's, and you know, I was standing there waiting to pick up my food, and Weir looks behind me and sees a cardboard cutout of Livy Dunn because they're at every Raising Cane's, and Weir goes, "Cutout of Livy," and runs past me, almost knocks me to the floor, and sprints all the way to the back, takes a picture while people are eating in front of the cardboard cutout, and the people are looking at him as he's taking a photo of them and Livy Dunn. The cardboard cutout of
that's hilarious.
And that's a true story. I hope Dredger's here to confirm that.
He's a true story.
Thank you, Dredge. Thank you. I fabricate
the New York City one, right?
No. That was in Delaware. I fabricate a lot of things. That one was not fabricated.
There you go.
How did Baby Gronk feel about that, do you think?
How did Baby Gronk? Oh, yeah, because Livy Dunn obviously
rizzed up. Livy Dunn, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I don't know how Baby Gronk felt about it, but is it true that Baby Gronk is like one of the top prospects coming out of middle school for football?
Anyway, back to the question. Jesus Christ.
Oh, the thing is, I don't think he's wrong.
He's probably not wrong, but
you want to go to one of the one of his college games down the road?
No, you can.
What if he plays for the Gamecocks?
Well, if Livy Dunn is there,
then maybe. If he's playing for the Gamecocks, then maybe I'll go.
Okay. Nick T, you were saying
their mascot's name?
What? What'd you say, Pete?
What's the mascot for South Carolina?
Oh, Cocky.
Can you just pick an answer?
That's the name of the thing. I don't know. It's funny because like I'm currently in the coffee industry. Like I kind of see it both ways. Like while I think from a business standpoint, cafe makes the most sense, and I know coffee quite well. I know like you know overhead like machines are like very expensive.
Sure.
I think I would probably and I do like am a big fan of like the vibes though. Like I like cafes. But I think I would do, even despite the potential like cost of liability insurance, like I think I got to go bar.
Bar is my number two choice, Nick T, and I would have actually been shocked if you didn't pick a bar. I'm someone who obviously does not drink. I'm not a drinker or a consumer of alcohol in any capacity. That being said, I've said this many times, I actually love going to bars. I love the vibe of bars. I know that's not maybe a very common take for people that are usually sober at bars. I know a lot of people that are sober at bars get very
annoyed. Yeah, but you get
annoyed. I love people watching and like, oh, yeah. I love, you get to really say anything you want, man. And people assume you're drunk and it's fun. So I do love the vibe of bars for sure.
You do that. Like, yeah, you could say
of course.
Whatever you want.
Well,
like,
by
wow,
the way,
yeah.
people say to me all the time that they'd be very concerned if I was drunk because a conversation with me kind of simulates what it would be like to converse with a drunk person, which I don't feel like that's a compliment.
That's fair. That's
but,
fair.
Yeah, it's fair. It's probably not.
And you act like one too, even when you're just on a sugar high.
There was one time I remember I got a Coke or a Pepsi at a bar. And the nice thing too is it's always free. And I always give the bartender like $5 anyway. But like almost every time I've ordered one, the few times I've gone to bars, I mean, I'm really not at bars often. Especially not anymore, but I'll always order like a Coke or a Pepsi and they're like, oh, it's free. But I'll still like give the guy a few bucks.
Yeah. Tip him. Yeah.
Yeah.
They appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, that's, you know, $3 is what it would normally cost anyway. So it's fine. But yeah, no, bar I think is a good choice. Pete, what about you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cafe. I mean, I love coffee. One of my favorite things in the world, and just the vibe of going into, especially not like just the Starbucks, like going into like kind of like a mom and pop cafe. There's just something about that vibe, the unique menu, decorating for the holidays, just like the calming selection of just music that you could have in there. You have just like a wide variety of people either working remotely or people studying in college or just people coming to hang out and or dates. Like you have all of that. I enjoy that. I definitely enjoy that for sure.
Yeah. No, it's a great vibe. Dak, what about – I'm actually interested. I'm not 100% sure what you're going to pick here.
I'm going to be honest. I completely forgot what the third choice was.
Sure, sure. So bar, cafe, or restaurant, which I imagine would be kind of like
okay. I thought it was restaurant.
Traditional
but
dinner, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, between them, I definitely would probably go cafe number one. There is something just about that vibe that I've always just loved. And I mean, you know, just through college and just through life, just being able to go and, you know, exactly sit down and study, you know, sit down and read a book just to be able to get out of the house or whatever, you know, for a while, get off the campus, you know, it just had its own feel. I mean, bars are, they can be great. They can have that same type of vibe, but yeah, definitely it's a different beast in itself.
For sure.
I feel like, you know, so I'd probably put that as a close second, but I think I'd lean cafe just a little bit more so because there's just a lot more fun you can have, a lot more food you can enjoy that's, you know, a little more themed and exactly decorate or celebrate, you know, kind of specific holidays a little easier than you can with a bar, at least in my opinion there from what I've experienced. I'm sure there's some perfect bar out there that does it and nails every holiday, but you know, the cafe kind of side of things, I think you just get a lot more wiggle room to do things in a little more capacity.
Yeah, I'm in agreement, and I know right. none of us picked a restaurant. I think running a restaurant feels very daunting.
It sounds horrible.
Yeah. It's
yeah. It doesn't sound fun at all.
Yeah, I didn't know if you
watched The Bear.
I didn't know if you guys all felt the same. I've watched Bar Rescue. Yeah, I didn't know if you guys felt the same way. But yeah, it's just very daunting.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
I work with a guy who has run restaurants, and like, I've actually now worked with multiple people throughout time that have worked like either owned or run restaurants, and it's just like not fun. It's like, you know, you're always fighting against the beast that is the restaurant.
Yeah. And obviously your uncle is David Burke. I mean, we haven't even touched on that.
Uncle is David Burke.
Yeah. So you obviously it runs in the family, but you know about running restaurants and the struggles that come with that.
I would hate to be David Burke's
name. What happened to the goat, man? What happened?
The goat's gone.
I can't believe that was our anniversary spot. Me and I'm sorry.
Crystal there last year.
I
will clarify for the audience. Actually, I feel like I don't need to clarify because most of the audience probably doesn't know who David Burke is. I didn't know who David Burke was until I started working for the coffee company. But he's essentially at this point a celebrity chef who just owns restaurants throughout New Jersey.
Wait, the goat is gone.
The goat is gone.
Yeah, the goat is gone.
Since when?
Gone.
It's been like months.
Some point
now.
This year. Yeah, at some point this year.
Really? Like
yeah.
I've driven past it before, and I'm like, oh, the goat.
I mean, like, I imagine the building's still there, but like, it's
no, it is. But like, I never noticed that like nobody was there.
Yeah, yeah, nobody's there. Crazy. He's got other restaurants. Go to East Brunswick. Go to Orchard Park. Go to David Burke Tavern.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Or Park Avenue Kitchen.
Doesn't he have a restaurant in Rumson too, I think?
Red Horse.
Red Horse, that's what it is.
Do you guys want to get into some more supers?
Oh yeah, we should.
Thank you, Dark Emperor.
Oh, we have a familiar face here. We have Slifer Red membership for 69 months. Cal Breezy. Cal Breezy.
Cal Breezy.
Nice.
Nice. Now, why did you say nice?
It's what you say.
Oh, I got it. Oh, I got it. I got it.
Well, it said describe Dylan in one word, so I put nice. Mm.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate that. Cal, thank you for the 69 months. I appreciate you, man.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. Thank you, my man.
Nice water bottle, dude.
Thank you, dude. All right, Nick T, can you read the next one, please?
Yeah, I'm going to move on. We have $5 from Sean Gilbride.
Sean Gilbride, thank you, dude.
And this is some good news. He says, hey, I'm still on cloud nine from getting first place in my volleyball competition last Friday.
And by the way, Sean, thank you for the $5 super chat. Do you know the score? Do you guys want to guess the score of the first game in Sean's volleyball competition? Obviously, you played till 21.
I was there, so.
Dak can't guess then.
Nope.
21-3.
Okay, Nick T.
21-5.
Okay, Nick T.
21-1.
And wow. And by the way, they were like they were, I think it was a younger group, the first team he played, and I praised him. I was like, I'm happy you did not go easy on them. I'm happy that you ran up the score and you won as quickly as you needed to. What a pure dominant performance. All I know is if I was on a winning team in a state competition or whatever competition, not only getting first place, but to win that dominantly in your first match. They ran the table, by the way, 2-0-2-0. To win that dominantly, man, you should be proud and you should be on cloud nine. Sean Gilbride, we love you. We appreciate you. We always love rooting for you here on the channel. Thank you for the update. Thank you for the donation. Greatly appreciate you, my man. Thank you, Sean.
That's crazy. Good for him, man.
Awesome. Awesome, dude.
Good job, man.
We have $8 Australian from Electric Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
He asked, who do y'all think would win in a duel between Seto Kaiba and Declan Akaba?
Well, first of all, Kevin, thank you so much for the very, very generous super chat. Very much appreciated. This is one that only I... No, Dak can answer. Dak can answer because he's also watched Arc 5.
It's Kaiba, dude.
Sorry, I'm so used, Dak, to me being the only one that's seen Arc 5 here. What, you snap called Kaiba, Cal?
Yep.
I would go Declan. I would go Ragey. What about you, Dak?
Yeah, I mean, as much as between the two, I would like Kaiba to get a win.
Sure.
I'd
like a lot. I'd like a lot of things. I'd like to win the lottery.
Ragey, 100%. Yeah. You know, just not only just because of the, just the difference in deck type, yeah, obviously, but just I mean, he just, yeah, I think he's on kind of a little bit of a higher level, faster pace than good old Kaiba, unless Kaiba pulls Obelisk out of the ground, in which case then he might be in trouble.
Listen, I've just always viewed Kaiba as not being able to win the big one. I've always viewed him that way, and I feel like if you're dueling a rival from a different Yu-Gi-Oh! Show, it's a big duel. The pressure's on, and I just do not feel like Seto Kaiba has consistently been able, or really ever, to be totally honest with you, to win the big one. And I just think whenever you have matchups like this, I tend to fade Kaiba usually. And yeah, so me and Dak are the only ones who can really answer this. We are both picking Declan Akaba. Kevin, thank you so much for the potential dual matchup, which of course we'd love to see one day, but Konami will probably never give us. And thank you for the donation. Never greatly ever. Appreciate it. Thank you, Kevin.
Still,
yes.
Would you say that Kaiba is kind of like Lamar Jackson, where when it comes down to like the big game, he just can't get it done?
Sure. I think there's probably some truth in that. And then like to beat the true villain, which are the Buffalo Bills, he needs Yugi Moto, aka Patrick Mahomes' help to do it. And Yugi always does
Come
it.
Come on.
Patrick Mahomes always does it. So I do actually think there is some truth in that.
Right? I think there's
when
some,
they went up against darts, Kaiba lost.
I feel like a better comparison there would be Aaron Judge. Like a guy that just absolutely goes cold and chokes in the postseason.
Ooh. But Aaron Judge at least is like winning some games in the postseason. They got to the World Series.
I mean, Lamar's won. He's gotten to an AFC championship.
He hasn't gone to the bowl, though.
Well, that's because Mahomes is there.
Mahomes.
Yeah, there you go. Allen hasn't beaten him either.
Yeah, but I didn't want to bring up a Bill on Dylan's show.
Mm. You can bring him up in a negative way, like Pete did.
That's a fair point.
Kevin, thank you so much.
And I think the last one so far on our end is another $8 Australian from Electric Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
And he said, rank these five East and Southeast Asia cuisines by your favorite to least. Chinese, Japanese, Thai, Korean, Vietnamese.
Wow. And by the way, if anybody in chat wants to play along, Please do. I've brought the feature back now where I show the donation or the super chats at least on screen. Yeah, so it's easier for everybody to look at. I still have to figure out how to do that with Twitch, if it's even possible, and with link donations, which I'm not sure if it's possible, but I will look into that. So if anybody in chat wants to play along, this is a good question.
I'm in 100% agreement with Dredger. Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Thai, Vietnamese. And it's only because I really haven't had Vietnamese, so it's kind of just...
Yeah.
You gotta have pho.
In its own... Well, I've had pho. But that's the only thing I've had that's Vietnamese.
Oh, boy.
Banh mi? You know how to banh mi?
No.
You should.
Right now.
Right now.
All right, let's see if they have it.
I think I'm gonna be maybe controversial with mine. So... I'll go. I'm going to do Korean. Japanese number one, Korean number two, Korean Vietnamese barbecue. Number three, Thai number four, Chinese number five.
All right.
And the reason
I love Chinese food.
Yeah, I think that'll probably be the hot take. Chinese food, and I have a very good stomach. I have a stomach of iron. I like Chinese food. Too. Yeah, it's the one food that always really F's up my stomach. And I know there might be people watching that says, oh, well, American Chinese is not actually Chinese, and that's fair, but that's my only experience with Chinese food. So that's what I have to base it off of. So yeah, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, Thai, Chinese.
Okay. I think I've got mine. So I'm gonna go Japanese, Chinese, Vietnamese, Thai, ooh, Korean. Honestly, as much as I do like K barbecue and like my experiences with Korean like cuisine, I think it's a little overrated. I love like pretty much most Japanese food that I've had. I think
Japanese
it's all great.
Is so good.
It's, yeah.
It's so good.
And then Chinese, like I could have like maybe not once a week, but like pretty frequently I could have Chinese and eat it. And then Vietnamese, I think it's kind of a sleeper. It's a sleeper for me. So like that's why right in the middle, like I think it's an underappreciated cuisine.
Now, Nick T, would reminding you that soju is Korean potentially move it up for you, or does that keep it down?
I don't love soju.
Okay, that's fair.
I like some flavors. No, I respect it, actually. I like it. I've had soju like cocktails.
Okay.
Those are banger. But on its own, there's only a couple flavors of soju that I'm like, yeah, this rules.
Yeah, but like most alcohol, I feel like there's not a ton that you want to just drink by itself. Unless it's
that's fair.
I like whiskey, so like whiskey I'll drink on its own.
But yeah. Like on a random night in your room by yourself.
Yeah, like a Tuesday or something. But like you know, you're not drinking vodka on the rocks unless you had a bad day. And
I think it's kind of designed to drink.
Yes, I know.
Itself. Yeah. But like mixing a cocktail, like there are some like I think the sushi place here, Taka, has a couple cocktails that involve even though it's not Japanese, have like some soju cocktails, and it's great. They're great. Really,
Taka's
really
good.
Taka's awesome, dude.
Yeah, I've been there.
And that's why that really helped me with the Japanese pick.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're banger all around.
Yeah. I think just trying the food in Japan for me is like it's like cheating. Oh. Like of course it's gonna be number one.
That's
so good.
I hate
it. He always has to talk about going to Japan.
He loves it.
It's my favorite place.
Are you going with them this time? Are you going with them this time?
No, they're going over Christmas and New Year's. I'm not going with them this time.
Are you, Nick?
I saw his post about it. No, I think they're just going by with themselves. I just
they
saw
are.
His post about it.
Yeah. Although Kenny and Liz, no, they actually both asked me to come. And I was like, I'm not coming to suspend your Christmas and New Year's together.
Hey, I can say some things, but I'm not going to.
They propositioned him.
You think that's what it was?
Bro is being used as a unique night out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was that you that said it or someone else said that?
Crazy.
That's crazy.
Well,
what did I say?
Well, Pete, what how would you rank it?
Chinese, Thai, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese.
Fair. And Dak, why were you doing it?
For me, it would probably, I'd say my go-to would probably be Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Thai and Vietnamese, because I really very rarely ever get to have Vietnamese. So
yeah, that's fair.
I don't want to give it a miss rating there. And I mean, usually Chinese is just the most common, quick, easy for me. So I'd put that up. But I mean, if I had good Japanese, I'll easily swap and put it up front there too. I can easily interchange them.
So three of us have Japanese at the top. Two of us have Chinese. Cool. Great question. Kevin, thank you so much for the welcome super back. Chat and the donation. Welcome back, Cal.
Yep. No. Thanks for having me.
Come back, man.
Just make sure your passport's still valid.
Yeah, no, I was just making sure I knew where Pete's address was. That was all.
I could send it to you if you want.
he's a short drive, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're also a short drive.
Don't look at. Well, I didn't say anything. Nick T was the one who said it.
Dylan is in New Jersey more frequently than he is in Delaware. He never once hits me up and goes, "Hey, man, you want to get dinner?" Never.
By the way, can I tell you something? I don't think I have seen a single person from the hometown friend group in New Jersey since I moved to Delaware. Because that's every true. Time, Pete's not wrong. I do go to New Jersey a lot. Every time I go to New Jersey, it's to see my family. I'm not in New.
Well, I know your family. I know.
Wow. Pete's making it seem like I'm going on the New Jersey tour and I'm getting Pete and Elda's with Weir and I'm getting Applebee's
you
with Cal. Oh my God! No, it's just
the new South Park shirt from Pete and Elda's.
Oh, I'm getting it.
It's so ugly, but I will want it.
Weir actually said it looked great.
It doesn't.
Oh no, I'm okay that it's ugly. I just like I don't have a shirt. I don't have a shirt yet, so I won't.
You have to get it.
It's like a good like sleep shirt. It's a good bedtime shirt.
Yeah, exactly. When you're chilling around the house.
Dark Emperor J, thank you for the $2 donation. After Dark suggestion, online Dungeons and Dragons with Dak and Carrie. Dak, how would that work? A virtual Dungeons and Dragons? Is something like that even possible?
Very well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's easy. It's very, very doable.
Do they have one like on Steam? Like, I feel like that'd be something they could put in like an actual game.
You know, there's ways to do it, but I mean, really, just Discord, and then you use something like Roll20, for example, is a good program. That, you know, you can see the little map and every little tokens and move.
Oh, there's like, okay, I didn't know there's actually.
There's ways to do stuff like that, for sure. I mean, yeah, during COVID, when we were still doing D&D, we had to do it virtually pretty consistently. So everybody just hopped in. You know, since we're lazy, I just put a camera on the ceiling, let it drop down, show kind of the board, and did all the moving for everybody as we moved the little minis around and let it run. It was a good time.
I've never played, so I don't know exactly how it works.
I would love to play.
Yeah,
it's like that. Sorry.
No, you're good, Nick T. I was gonna say I don't. It's not a bad suggestion, and I wouldn't say no to that suggestion.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool. Yeah, it's just the dungeon master that kind of makes this. Well, I guess, or you could read, but like still, like the dungeon master kind of has the creative force behind the game, and I think that's sick.
Dak,
Dylan's kind of been like a dungeon master to us for years.
Yeah, in
the
real
GTA
life.
GTA nights. Dak, I will tell you a little something that my brother said, and I don't know which of the guys were here when it happened, but we were hanging out one Saturday night, and we had your stream up on the TV, and we were just hanging out, and you guys were on the TV, and my brother came over, and my brother said, "What would you do if you turned on Dak's stream one Saturday night, and I was just there playing D&D with them?" And we thought it was the funniest thing. And,
I love that.
And so he's said that is one of his life goals, to join one of your D&D streams without me realizing and just coming across.
All he's got to do is send me a text. He should have my number from the group chat.
But now we're expecting it almost.
Okay, but can you imagine? It'd be the most ridiculous thing in the world. It really would be.
Why would it be so ridiculous?
It would just be not ridiculous, but random. It'd be very random.
It would be very random.
And it'd be like, how the hell did that happen?
Especially without you knowing.
Absolutely. I believe we have a super chat from Ice Aiden.
We do.
Thank you, man.
We have a $5 super chat from Ice Aiden.
Thank you, my man.
And he said, "A month ago, I went to my first Japanese barbecue. Great experience. Also, some background info of me. I'm Cuban born, but my granddad was Chinese."
Oh, that's really cool.
You got a wide variety.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool. I love that, Ice Aiden. I believe Kevin said a few months ago, and he was the one who had donated and asked us to rank the five Southeast Asia and
Yes.
East and Southeast Asian cuisines. I believe he said he was Vietnamese. So it's always cool learning about people's kind of, you know, backgrounds and stuff. And as my YouTube chat just kind of died sorry, Zayden.
I guess he didn't include Laos in that, right? But I can't think of a unique dish from there.
I mean, there's a few that weren't touched upon. Well, that. Yeah,
Pete, like, this is the first time Dylan's ever heard of Laos. So can you explain to him where that is?
I thought that was a legendary Pokemon.
That's
almost
Latios and Latias.
Look, when Yu-Gi-Oh is over and all that stuff happens next year, we should launch me teaching you history and geography.
I really would think love
you need
that.
To get up to speed, brother.
Hang on,
we could do our own version of "Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader" and ask different questions about the world.
Don't you think that would like tear apart our friendship?
No.
Why would it?
Now, I have an incredible amount of patience. I've been friends with you for 20 years, and I haven't left yet.
that's true. That's true. But Laos, okay. Interesting.
Laos, yeah. There's a few. Like, Cambodia's over there, and like there's a few countries, yeah.
Holiday in Cambodia.
Yeah, great song.
Of course, by the something.
Dead Kennedys.
Thank you. What is that reference?
That many of the Kennedy family
fallen. Well, we're trying to avoid politics. Let's say. We're trying to avoid politics.
Nick, you asked me.
Dylan, I didn't realize it was politics. thank you.
Yes, thank you, guys. I hope you're. Yeah, I'm glad your Japanese barbecue experience was great.
Yes, yes, Japanese barbecue.
Watching the stream, it's so funny for how long you had up this sample thing. I was like, this stream is great.
Yeah,
it's like,
well, that's Nick T. That's because the extension that I have, if the YouTube chat fails to load, which happens about every 90 minutes, then I have to reload it and refresh it, and that becomes the sample text. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yep, so
mine does it with the whole screen on YouTube, where it just goes, you have to reload this. There's an error with the cache, and no matter how many times you delete all your cache history, it still doesn't, and you have to reload YouTube all over
again. It's the most ridiculous.
I'm going to make an announcement.
I'm like, you have a new follower. Yeah, no, it's absolutely ridiculous. But, yeah, YouTube is slacking. Ice Aiden.
Did you see the one good feature they added in the last couple of weeks?
The collaboration one or no?
So I saw the collaboration one, but on mobile, they finally added, you know, like you're watching the end of a video and it comes up with a stupid playlist subscriber button.
Yes.
And you're in the middle of watching it. And now all of a sudden you can't see like the last 10 seconds of what you're watching. Now at the top right, you could click hide and that goes away and you could still watch the video.
Oh,
thank God.
God.
Well,
it only took him 5 years. It only took him five years.
Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how infuriating that
was. It would drive me insane, dude.
I don't know why, right, because the autoplay feature, I don't know why it reminded me of a tweet. I don't know. So Ivrea has to have the TV on when we go to sleep. She has to have some sound, otherwise she just gets scared or whatever. I don't know what it is. But I've adjusted rather quickly to the TV's on, the brightness, we always have it low. It is what it is. And she'll always put on like 8 to 10 hour videos of like rain or ambient, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I remember coming across a tweet a couple of like weeks ago where it was like, man, make sure when you're going to sleep with the TV on that you're finding long videos. I dead ass went on like, I fell asleep to like a 1 hour video of like a fireplace and woke up at 4 a.m. to a video of a POV camera in the dark woods with a shadowy figure staring at the camera.
Oh my God.
That's crazy.
I would have freaked out, dude.
That's even worse than what I imagined it was going to be.
That was not
I dead ass screamed and woke up my whole house.
Yeah, no, dude,
that's crazy.
I remember I showed Vree that and I was just in tears reading that and just picturing it.
I would never sleep again.
There was one time where I fell asleep to something like thunderstorms or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I guess the video wasn't long enough. And somehow YouTube ended up switching it to like fire truck sirens responding to a call. And it was like 3:30 in the morning. And it just goes, I don't, I woke up. I was just, oh my god, is there fire in my house? I had no idea what was going on.
Dude. I swear to God, people must like put in like their title or whatever category. Like ASMR just to like troll.
Oh,
like,
definitely
for sleep, and they just throw it in there, and then boom, it's fire sirens. It's like people screaming. Like it's ridiculous,
unbelievable.
Yeah, it was be one careful time some I did videos. Wake up to a Dylan video. Somehow it playlist to you,
I'm sorry.
It was just, and it literally woke me up of you just going, hello!
Oh, and
that
Jesus.
I've had that happen before. I've had that.
You know, it's
before.
Very weird that many of my friends have shared that experience because Justin has told me it's happened to him. Yep. Holly has mentioned that it's happened to her. Yeah. It's happened to Ivrea. I feel like many of my friends, and maybe even some people in the chat or watching back, have been woken up or have like, woken up to me like yelling about nonsense. And that is really cool.
That's just virtually. That doesn't count the times we do that in person.
Oh my God. That is a really, really good one. Geez. I think we have another super chat here from Kevin Nickte.
We do, yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kevin. Really appreciate
another,
it.
$8 Australian donation from Electric Kevin.
Thank
asking.
You, Kevin.
Who do y'all think would win in a duel between Roman Cassidy and Maddox Sogetsu?
Well, we can all, we can all pick this. I'm actually gonna say Roman, decently confidently. Okay. Yeah, I mean it's close, but I'm gonna say Roman.
For clarification, Maddox is Monobu.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
I mean, it's close. It's close.
Monobu's pretty strong, man.
I think I go Monobu.
I mean, he beats Zuijo.
My heart says Roman, but my brain says Monobu's getting a first turn maximum, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's right. He's got that power.
That's a good point. I don't know, man. I'm gonna say, probably Monobu, Maddox.
Ends in a draw.
Oh, you son of a...
No, I think it's going to be Monobu.
I'd probably say Monobu, too, yeah. He's a good duelist, man.
And I'd say Roman isn't, but like he has a better track record.
He's got that slight edge, I think.
Yeah, he definitely has an edge. He's got a history to back up his,
a questionable family line.
Definitely questionable family line.
I said it.
I would like Roman to win, but... No.
Yeah, I would definitely like Roman to win.
If Gakugen ever got added to Duel Links, that would actually cause me to delete the game. That's one of the rare
I think
things.
That's the end of the service. Yeah, I think that would be it.
Yeah,
it's going to be the final character.
Yeah, like he's giving dialogue about like with like fart puns, and you're like, fuck?
No,
his text boxes are going to look like little fart clouds.
Yeah, oh my God.
It'd be awful. I want to look at something. Can I... say something here. Monobu, never mind. But what I was going to say as I looked deeper into it did not hold weight. I was going to say Monobu struggles for whatever reason against girl opponents, but that's not entirely true. I mean, he lost to Neanderstar, he lost to Uemu, he lost to Yuna in the rematch, but... He also beat Epoch. He also beat Yuna the first time they dueled. Yuna. He also beat Rovi and he beat Ronron. So
he beat the ones that mattered.
Yeah, Ronron.
I can't even respond to that. I mean, that's such a ridiculous takeaway from that point.
That was like a legitimate opinion that Calver had for like half the show that Ronron.
Yeah,
she was better than you, Mu.
That was his rage bait
for
opinion.
A lot of the show.
That was his rage bait opinion, and I
wasn't used to believe you were not just.
It wasn't a rage bait
opinion.
Some
other podcast that you were just rage baiting.
No, it's not a rage bait opinion. She was more important in that second season.
I don't.
You know, when this is all said and done, Dale, we got to sit down and do top 10 worst podcast takes, like that people on the podcast.
Yeah, but the problem is that wouldn't be on there.
That's
got
to be in there.
No, that of course that would be on there, Cal. And I know what you're going to say. Oh, Dylan's had so many bad takes. Sure, I'd have probably like 8 of the 10 entries.
Why would I bring you into this? I wasn't talking about you.
Well, what were you going to say?
I said that wouldn't be on there because it was factual for almost an entire season of the show. Yuma was basically a cheerleader, and Ronron was out here saving carded people.
You think for an entire... Okay, she had one scene. You think for an entire
more
season,
than Yuma did.
You think for an entire season, Ronron was a better character than Yuma. For an entire season.
Yep.
I mean, it's crazy work, honestly.
Dude, that is... you have to be...
I will argue that her few actions of that season had a bigger
Her role in the season was more important than what Yuma did.
That doesn't necessarily mean she's a better character.
She is.
Of that season, but I will say she had a greater impact in her actions.
Nick T agrees with me, and that's great.
Well, that's because... Yuma had no action in.
Thank you.
All I'm saying is, Caliber, I disagree with you, but regardless, number one on that list, in my mind, hands down, no question, is Dylan putting us through probably hours in total of Yuma. Knew she was being kidnapped and
stolen. Oh my god,
that is no question. That's the number one worst take of the podcast.
Yeah, we can all agree on that.
It's up there, but I need to go through the list because there's probably more that are just as egregious.
It was so bad that when Ciel came on the podcast, I think she hit you.
She hit me she slammed
it. Been going on for like.
I mean, that's a pretty common occurrence
there. Yeah, I was gonna say, she hit him a lot.
She slammed the table in pure rage, and I even realized like, whoa. This is crazy. So I mean, listen. I will again have fun, laugh it up. It wasn't a great take on my end. I thought I was justified in believing it at the time. I even brought science into it. But again, I know not everybody here believes in the science, and that's fine. Listen.
Oh God.
It is what it is, it is what it is. But again, that was. I think that was in the same ballpark as the Ronron stuff that we had to sit through.
Yeah,
same
come ballpark. On, man.
Same ballpark.
Calbro, at least, like, while I disagree with this point, there was some evidence there.
Thank you.
The ludicrous.
I backed it up with science.
First of all, you know nothing about science.
That's why I let the scientists do it. I let the scientists do it.
That falling back on that point is absolutely insane work.
I let the scientists do it. I referenced
out the whiteboard. I mean, what were we doing?
it was a different time.
It was a different time.
I'd much rather be in these days.
You know what?
Had a show.
Yeah, you know what? Let me just say this. I would rather be debating about Yumu's reaction time and black holes and all that stuff with you boys every day of the week than where we are right now. How about that?
That's fair.
I do miss it.
Yeah, I do miss it a lot.
Remember when one of my theories was that the old man in the ramen shop was going to be a major villain because he shared the same voice actor as the main villain from GX?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Darkness.
Then it was the Go-On Double Six.
Yeah,
too.
That was
another one we put stock in.
But Go-On Double Six voice. Actually looked like it was going to be a threat.
Well, because they reminded you of your bosses in the real world.
That's your boys.
Yeah. Your guys that you go to lunch with every Wednesday.
I'm longing for lunch.
You're crazy.
Oh,
I'm longing for lunch. Oh boy.
You're something special.
Well, listen, there's been a lot of bad takes. There were also a lot of good takes. I remember there most of the things I said
Nick
ended
T's
up happening.
Number one. Nick T should be number one on that when he called Yuma on the poster.
Yeah, dude, isn't that crazy? A mile away.
That's definitely
he was the first person on that train.
I
will never be able to recreate that.
Yeah, that was good.
That was my winner. That was it.
Killed it with the poster, and then we had the year of Yuma for a couple arcs.
Dude, we analyzed that poster like no one else. We analyzed that poster like the Mona Lisa, dude. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Think about how bad of a second season she had to have that they had to completely change her character and being 100% different.
Bro, you're dragging her. Bro. You're dragging her. You're dragging.
This is like Dylan with Yuga.
Don't. Don't, dude.
Get with who?
I'm not getting rage baited. I'm not getting rage baited.
Well, I'm not getting rage baited either. That's why I'm not even paying attention to anything Caliber is saying about you.
Really? I saw you taking notes.
No, I'm not taking notes. I wasn't taking notes. I was trying to find
video coming out tomorrow about it.
I was trying to find the poster, but I can't find it.
No, I missed the physical poster where you would pull it up on the table.
Yeah.
I missed that bit. That was a
great Jimmy Fallon bit.
I think CL has kind of stepped away from the Yu-Gi-Oh scene, understandably.
You think it was because of that?
It may have been because of the poster. That may have been
that's
a reason.
I think that was on the Tumblr.
That's fair.
I also think, listen, there were a lot of people that said a lot of nasty things if the episodes weren't out on time. And I think that upset her, rightfully so. And
in a serious way,
and rightfully so. Yeah, and I got to be honest, like, even if Yu-Gi-Oh! 9 gets announced, it'd be amazing. I have no expectation that sub team would be back to sub the show. I would be actually shocked.
Not as that team, no.
Right. I think there would be other fan subbers that would come out of the woodwork at that point. And maybe they would. Who knows? I have not had any discussion with anyone from that team about it. I don't want anybody to think that I speak on behalf of that team. But just based on like everything that happened at the end, I would be surprised. So that's the other thing that we as a Yu-Gi-Oh! Community will have to face. Like, even if we get a new show and that's like the first pretty major roadblock, are we getting subtitles if it's another Rush anime? And I don't have a clear-cut answer to that. I really don't.
Great point.
So that's another element that, like, I don't think has been talked about a lot. And understandably so, because, like, we don't have a show. And if something gets announced in December, we'll have 3 months to talk about what's going to happen and everything like that. But that of course, is something that, you know, I just wanted to kind of point out. But, yeah, it was always funny to bring that poster and smack it on the old table and
so good,
have a
dude.
Chuckle. Yeah.
Well, Dill, as Space Cowgirl writes in the comments, I think you should learn Japanese and sub it yourself, dude. I mean, you got time.
Duolingo.
I am incapable of learning another language. It's not about time, it's about skill, and I lack the skill and the brain capacity to learn another language.
I honestly thought you were going to say words incapable of learning.
Well, at this point, I probably am incapable of learning. Well, I know, like, Watashi no turn. It's my turn. Dragon. Already...
You're halfway there.
Konnichiwa. Thank you. Oni-chan. Big bro. Oni-san. Big sister. Maybe my Japanese is better than I think it is.
He's thinking about show right now.
Arigato orimas.
I literally was thinking about show when he said that.
I know.
Arigato orimas.
Oni-chan.
Elaine, thank you for the 100 bits. Hi, Dylan and crew. Who would win in a duel between Roman and Rovian? I'm picking Roman there.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Roman.
Yeah, probably Roman. Yeah,
I'd want Rovian to win,
but it'd probably be
Roman. I love both of them, but I just think in their respective shows, Roman was just so much more of a focus.
We have a message here from Weir. Listening for 3 seconds, and already we have a Dill is unemployed comment.
Yeah, you
talking
the
Weir,
perfect
just
moment.
For you, buddy.
The perfect moment,
just for you.
That is too funny. What am I saying? Today, Dylan, I sent you clips on Discord. They are safe to show. Thank you so much, Elaine. So I actually cannot show them on this stream. And the reason for that is, I got to change this blue line, is all of the guys, their camera feeds are through the Discord call. So if I went off, the only way I can get to my DMs on Discord is if I get off the screen. And obviously if I do that like this, it messes everything up. So, I can't grab anything that's on Discord. I could always have it pre-saved, but obviously if you just sent them over, but that's fine. I'll send it to the guys or show it at some point. But thank you, Elaine, for always finding good, funny clips. It's greatly appreciated. That was definitely one of those things that was much easier to do when we were in person. But now that we're remote, the calls are through Discord. And so it's very hard to
do. There's really no better way, huh, than screen grabbing.
There might be, Nick T. I haven't thought about it enough.
Unless you use like Zoom or something.
That's something where me and Dak can go to the Corner Grounds Cafe and we can talk about it.
Wow.
And
is there a real cafe by you?
Of course it is. I was there this morning and I'll order him a Stranger Things a Stranger Things Demi S'more Cafe cappuccino, and Dak can order a pumpkin muffin with some cream on top, and we'll just have some fun, man. We'll have some fun over coffee, over lattes, over cappuccinos, over you know, just books.
Two guys just chilling in a cafe.
And yeah, Dak, that's what we need to do, man. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Two Sundays from now. Not the Sunday, next Sunday. We'll meet you there.
Okay, sounds good. There is apparently a better way to do it. I'll have to look into that. OBS Ninja, look into that. Good to see you, Rarity. OBS Ninja, yeah. I will look into that.
Rarity, someone who takes this actually seriously, unlike you.
Well,
actually, something I was going to potentially mention.
Weird, do you hear this guy? Weird. Can you believe this, man? I mean, seriously.
Just for weird.
I mean, it is so funny.
Say, you got a comment, Dill L in the chat.
Dude, I love weird. Okay. Listen.
Okay. It'd be like that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think there's too much. Too bad we can't just listen to it instead of watching. Yeah, there's also no way, Elaine, in the current setup, for me to play audio that the guys would be able to hear in real time. Yeah. There'd be a delay. So like if I played it through my microphone, It would work, but it wouldn't really. Yeah, I mean, we can do. But listen, we're live every Wednesday night. Yeah, we'll workshop it. I'll look into I'll look into the OBS Ninja, and we'll see what it's like. Dak, you said you use that program. Does that program have any compatibility with Streamlabs?
Well, it's a separate thing. I mean, it uses like browser sources and stuff like that. So I mean, it should work with Streamlabs as well.
Okay.
I can't imagine any reason that there would be any issues, but I mean, Carrie and my our entire like Scarlet Violet Pokemon playthrough, I was using that, and we were swapping back and forth between perspectives and all that, you know, capturing her point of view and my point of view.
That's cool.
I mean, it should be fine.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll rock and roll, and we'll figure it out. But guys, I think that's gonna wrap it up, man. Again, if you missed the announcement at the beginning of the episode, I will kind of reiterate in a TLDR sense what I basically said. Starting after November, we will only be doing Talking Yu-Gi-Oh! The Chronicles when the anthology ends. So when the Charmers anime ends in March, we will do one episode for the entirety of the Charmers. We are no longer going to be doing once a month with this segment. I will let you guys know at an appropriate later date, probably in late December, if I'm being honest, because I want to be patient. I don't want to announce a new Wednesday night project in November only for them to actually give us a new show in December and set the Yu-Gi-Oh! Community back ablaze and in a good way. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they do. And, you know, if they don't, we'll figure out another course of action. But we will be doing an episode for October and November to conclude the branded. But after that, we will only be doing one episode for the entire anthology at the end when it comes to the end. If you want to know my reasoning for it, my rationale for it, went into way more detail, literally at the very opening of the stream. Want to thank everybody who came by, lurked, watched, listened, donated, super chatted. Thank you guys so much. Shooting it over, or down, I should say, to Nick T. What is going on in the world of you? And actually, Nick T, before you say that, huge thank you to Calibro, to Pete, to Dak, and to Nick T for taking time out of their Wednesday nights to come on. Follow all of them, including Dredger, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything team. It's all in the description, or it'll be in the chat. Nick T, what's cooking up, man?
Things are cooking. I have a lot of things in the planning stages for both Nameling and Fragile Homes. Fragile Homes is getting mixes back, so the gears are turning on our upcoming EP, which will be my first with the band. So that's really exciting. It sounds excellent. I'm really excited to share it with the world. And the Nameling album, of course, maybe dual release show. I think I brought that up last time, but definitely things in the works. So follow both of those projects on all streaming platforms, on all social media platforms, and streaming music on all streaming ones. You could purchase their music. If you purchase music on either Bandcamp, iTunes, Amazon, wherever, And Mom Fight as well. Mom Fight a bit slower to the punch, but is slowly but surely working on the long-awaited Mom Fight album. So got all those things, got stuff everywhere.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for that.
Real quick, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
To address Space Cowgirl, it's coming. It's coming. I'm refining the designs shortly. So
cool. Well, thank you, Nick T. Calibro, what is going on in the world of Calibro, aka Cal Breezy, aka Calzone?
Nothing really. I don't really have anything to promote. So
come on, man.
I'll push it down to Mr. First and 10. Go ahead, Pete.
Damn, Little D is great. Son.
Yeah, I'm
yes.
That sound clip. Yeah, I have a YouTube channel, Clueless Gamers. First and 10 is my football podcast. Do it with my friend Brian. There'll be a new episode out on Saturday. We've been every single week, so check that out. If you like NFL football or just chatting, appreciate all the support there. And yeah, always follow me on Twitter, PeteVaccaro21.
Awesome. Follow Pete. And Dak, what is going on in your world, man?
Mostly just streaming at good old twitch.tv/DakFTW.
Let's go.
Close. I feel like every time I come on, I say we're making more progress in Kingdom Hearts, and it couldn't be more true. It'll be weird to to be on and to not talk about Kingdom Hearts, I guess. But yeah. We're just about done Dream Drop Distance, and wow. We got, I think, two more, and we're on to Kingdom Hearts 3, and we're done. So we're almost in the there. We're in the end game.
You know, let's go, dude.
We're in the end game now.
With that, which is a lot of fun, a lot of stuff to see there, and we've been doing we might be hopping behind the wheel as a fast blue hedgehog soon, racing somebody else who plays that.
And F-Tails, by the way. I don't know if we are still in chat. F-Weir and F-Tails. I'm sick of that guy. I'm sick of both of them. But I'm excited to play with you soon, Dak, and we'll be streaming that game on our own Twitch channel as well Thursday night. So if you like vibes and good vibes and chill vibes and random games, Dak for the win is your guy. If you like football, if you like talking about, hey, which man is going to assert their dominance over which man, that's Pete, that's Brian. Follow them, Clueless Gamers. If you like randomness, he's going to stream once a year, maybe once every 2 years. But when he streams, it's going to be fun. It's going to be sexy. It's going to be hot. That's Cal Breezy. Follow him. And if you like music, if you like as you're showering and just getting ready for the day in any way you can, and you play music off your phone and you want some emotional music, Nameling, NJ, Nick T, listen to him. Right. Check him out. And guys, if you like Yu-Gi-Oh! Content, keep it right here on Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything. Thank you guys all so much for the amazing, amazing support. Huge thank you to Nick T, Dak, Cal, and Pete again as well. To everybody that watched, lurked, thank you. To everybody that super chatted and donated, thank you. Channel members, thank you. Cal, thank you for the 69 months. Truly would not be able to continue to do these if it was not for the guys taking time out of their Wednesday nights, you guys coming to the streams, and so many of you guys for donating and super chatting. Huge shout out to Electric Kevin, who had three pretty big donations. So thank you so much, Kev. Thank you guys all so much. Get some rest. We will see you tomorrow for Master Duel, DM Watch Along, finishing the Noah Virtual World arc, and Sonic Cross Worlds. Triple stream day. Thank you all so much, and I hope you have an amazing day.
An amazing day.
Take care, guys.
Bye, guys.
Good night.